The time has come, the walrus said, to talk of many things. Hello. Welcome to Exposing the Masters Within, the one and only hour on radio or the internet dedicated solely to helping you expose yourself. My name is John Schulte. I'm here to serve you, to help you to know more of the truth about you. It's often said, looks can be deceiving. And we all know that the surface of things is, by definition, shallow. So thanks for joining me today as we journey through the looking glass to explore what's on the other side, to explore what's beneath the surface. We're here together to discover, uncover, and recover our masters within. You knew your mastery much more fully when you signed up for your on-earth sojourn. But you mostly forgot it soon after leaving the cozy confines of your mother's womb. You've rediscovered some inkling of it, or you wouldn't be listening to me now. So, it's time to remember the masters we are. It's time to reclaim the power we have. It's time for Exposing the Masters Within. Let's get started.
Today is Sunday, March 18th, 2012. If you're listening live, and it's some other time if you're not, if you're listening to the recording, welcome to the one-year anniversary show. I am very, very excited and pleased and a little bit surprised, I must say, that I'm here after a year. Not that I'm surprised I made it this far, but it doesn't seem possible that a year has already passed since, well, it was the spring equinox, the March equinox last year that was the first show. And the equinox is in 2 days, and here I am 1 year later. So thanks for joining me today, and thanks for joining me as many times as you have along the way in this process of discovery, in this process of self-mastery and self-exposure. So, wonderful. Let's jump right in and connect the way we connect most every show, and starting with connecting to our own mastery. So just let yourself open inward. And that may be a paradox or an oxymoron, but that's what we're going to do. We're going to open inward and allow our divinity, allow our mastery, allow more of our power to come to the surface and to fill us up at this level that we normally are perceiving through our mental, through our physical, through our emotional bodies. And just let yourself bring that divinity forward. And let yourself, as much as possible, feel it filling you. Wonderful. And, of course, the next place we go is into deeper, more complete connection with our Mother Earth. And if not for her, we'd be floating in the middle of space somewhere if she weren't here. So let's connect with home in that sense, the physical sense that allows us to be in body, that allows us to have these experiences, that allows us to move into our mastery more fully. So once more, just ground yourself down, open to her, allowing the energy of her love and support to flow up into you, to fill you up, and allow your love and gratitude to flow down into her, thanking her for giving us this opportunity that we have to be here this day and to be here every day. All right, and breathe and allow that to merge, to join with that divinity that you opened to just a moment ago. And allow those, the divinity and our connection to physicality, to become more prevalent, more prominent, more complete within you. All right, and let's connect to another aspect of divinity, all those angels and guides, all those enlightened beings, all those beings who have carried through these dimensions and done what we are seeking to do. They've already reclaimed, discovered, exposed, and expressed their divinity. And so allow yourself to open to those beings that are there to support you at that level in that way, sharing their divinity and their experience with you. And again, allow their love and support to fill you and to merge with that love and support from the Mother Earth and to merge with your own divinity, helping to clarify it and strengthen how much you're able, how much we are able to own that in our lives and in our expression and in our experience. And next, let's open up still further, and this time we're going to open up to the community of those others who are joining us through this program today, through this process today, to the community of those who are choosing to work together through this offering, whether they're joining for the first time today, whether they're joining through the recording or live, doesn't matter. Let's open to that community and feel that shared intention to expose our mastery, that shared intention to discover and refine and share our light, and feel that love and support that they're carrying for this process and for each other. You may not know each other personally, but you know each other energetically because we are creating this together. And if not for each one of you, what comes out of my mouth would be very different. And so allow your gratitude to flow there. And again, allow that support and love to be added to the support and love from the divine realms where we get our guidance, to the support and love that we receive from Mother Earth, and to the power that is our own divinity within us. And just stir that up. Allow that to come together to create a new mixture of experience. And let's expand out in the energy of connection again, and this time to all of the light workers on the planet, everyone who is seeking to consciously walk this path of self-awareness and self-empowerment. Whether we will ever meet them in person, directly, in body, or not is irrelevant. Everyone walking this path, seeking to empower themselves, seeking to support others into self-empowerment, we are all creating a mass consciousness of energy that we can tap into. And so as we tap into this community of other light workers, what we're tapping into is that mass consciousness of energy moving forward toward empowerment individually and collectively. And so allow yourself to open to that love and support, because it takes love to be willing to walk this path. We have to step into loving ourselves more. And that's part of that mass consciousness, is really claiming that self-love so that we can move forward. And so there's such a huge amount of support for that in that mass consciousness. And that's what we're opening into. That's what we are expanding in our lives right now. Bringing that forward through that community, through that connection. And again, allow that love and support to merge with the love and support from all of our divine friends, to merge with the love and support from the Mother Earth, and to merge and encourage our divinity to come forward. For that's the shared intention. That's the shared empowerment. And just breathe into that and really feel as much as you can all of this energy. And it's here all the time. And we do it consciously here every program, every time I'm here. We're going to make this connection, these connections. But it's there all the time. And the more frequently we tap into it, the more frequently we engage with it, the more frequently we open to it, the more easily we can walk this path of self-discovery, self-mastery, and self-empowerment. So, I don't know about all of you, but that always feels very good to me to go through that process. And I am always so pleased to share it with you. And today, since it is the anniversary day, or as close as we could get by doing the show on a Sunday, of that first program, I am going to start with the topic of celebration. And I think that's going to tie into what we talked about last week eventually. We'll see where we go. But I'm just delighted that this is continuing. I feel like this is such a powerful piece for me to be able to offer out into the world to, and yes, expose myself in this way. And as I go forward on my path, I know that that is important. And each time I step into another aspect of work, another aspect of sharing what I'm here to offer, it just expands how much of my own power I can feel. So thank you again for allowing me to do this, for supporting me enough to do this, that I've been able to continue it, because we're in this together. Exposing our divinity to ourselves is the first step, but we're in body not just to be out there on the mountain by ourselves, a hermit in a cave. As much as I joke about being a hermit, it's through our relationships, through our connections, that we discover ourselves, that we notice which pieces of our lives, which places in our lives, which aspects of our lives we are becoming more empowered in, and which ones we still need to work with more consciously to open and bring our power and our mastery into, and to expose to the world, to share with the world. And, well, let's talk celebration. Celebration to me is an extremely vital part of that. And as I was sitting with, even 15 minutes ago, not having any idea what the topic was going to be for today, as I was sitting with that and celebration came up as the topic, what occurred to me is how sparse, at least for me and for most people I know, how sparsely the energy of celebration is a part of my life. And that may seem, I don't know, a little odd. It seems maybe a little odd for me to say it, because isn't the point of celebration that it's going to be about something that is different, something that is exceptional in our lives? So we celebrate our birthdays, and we celebrate Christmas, and we celebrate Hanukkah, and we celebrate this holiday and that holiday. But maybe that's a bit limited in what we can do with celebration. Maybe that's a bit limited in how beneficial celebration can be for us. Because if I look at that, and even just the way that it came out of me as a description, that we're looking at celebrating that which is exceptional. Well, to me, it's exceptional every time I take a breath. It's exceptional that we get to live here moment by moment, year, day by day, year by year. And I think it was Einstein, I'm not sure. Perhaps I'm mistaken here, who said that it's surprising to even have one life. Actually, I think maybe it was Ben Franklin. It's surprising to have one life. Why is it, or should it be, any more surprising that we would have more than one life? And I would take that further and say, well, it's surprising that we have one moment or one day or one breath. And so the more we can bring this energy of celebration to those so-called smaller things, to the mundane details in our lives, I think the more we're going to be able to create the life that we're desiring to live. And that is about mastery. That's about self-empowerment. Because to me, that energy of celebration, first and foremost, is an energy of gratitude. It's an energy of allowing ourselves to really be grateful for whatever it is we're celebrating. And we do that, we tend to do that with the big things, and we throw parties, etc. But what if we did that and took that level of gratitude and brought it into seemingly smaller and smaller segments of our lives? What would our lives look like? Now, there's a lot of teaching out there, especially when it comes to manifestation, about the power of gratitude and what that does in terms of the manifestation process, the creation process. And as I understand it, and as I've taught it, what that does is when we step into gratitude, or when we allow ourselves to experience gratitude, and I know I did one of the shows completely about that topic, but when we step into it, what we're doing is we are coming as fully as possible into the moment of whatever that experience is that we're grateful for. And when we truly own that experience, when we truly receive that experience, what it does is it frees us up for the next experience. And so gratitude is a way of moving ourselves forward into a place of greater freedom to create what we desire, because we are fully accepting of what we've already created. And so gratitude is both a way of completing an experience and a way of expanding to open into the next experience. And so if that's what gratitude does, if that's what simply stepping into Thanksgiving does, what happens when we take that to the next level? What happens when we take gratitude to the level of celebration and allow ourselves to open into that energy, not only of the gratitude, which is a very internal kind of experience, not that we don't say thank you and not that it can't go out into the world, but to me, celebration is the expressive part of gratitude. It's the part of taking that to the level of really feeling it and maximizing how much it flows, maximizing how much of the gratitude we're willing to do. And there's a hesitation. Certainly there was in me for a very, very long time growing up to be grateful. And in fact, even to deflect gratitude. For instance, how many times have you, or under what circumstances have you, had someone thank you for something or compliment you on something? And this is especially true in compliments, I think. But when they complimented you, instead of simply saying thank you and stepping into gratitude and experiencing that compliment, letting yourself take it in and have the full experience of it, how many times have you said, oh, well, you too? Or, oh, it was nothing. Or whatever other way we might deflect it. I used to do that terribly. It was incredibly hard for me to take a compliment. And I'm not sure where I first came across that concept or the suggestion that next time someone pays you a compliment, simply say thank you and breathe it in. and seek to feel or allow the gratitude to come up for being acknowledged. Because when that compliment is coming to us, it's coming to us as a recognition that we've exposed something about ourselves. We've shared something of value with that other person. And that's why they are grateful. And that's why they're sharing that gratitude with us. And yet, it's so common to deflect that, to not allow ourselves to experience someone else's gratitude. Well, if we can't experience their gratitude, how can we experience our own? And that leads me back to this energy of celebration. What if, as you are imagining the next time someone gives you a compliment, what if instead of deflecting it, you started by just saying thank you? So you step into your own gratitude that they shared the compliment. You just say thank you and you breathe in and you allow that gratitude to expand. And then maybe you go a little further. Maybe you seek to celebrate it. And you say, you know what? Thank you for seeing whatever it is they saw, for seeing that it took me some effort to do this, for seeing this positive attribute about me, for seeing how difficult it was for me to share that, for seeing that I'm actually a worthwhile human being. Instead of just saying thank you, thanking them more specifically than that. And what if we said, and took it a little further and said, thank you for helping me to see myself the way you see me. Thank you for helping me to see what's good about me. Thank you for helping me to see my own efforts. And then, what if we took it still further? And after we were not with that person, or perhaps when we were still with them, depending on the relationship you might have, what if we thanked ourselves? What if we celebrated that? What if we said, all right, I am so happy that I was able to do that. And I'm so grateful that I manifested someone to reflect back to me what I had shared, what part of myself I had exposed. What if we could celebrate that way? Wouldn't that help us move forward in this process of coming to know ourselves and coming to value ourselves, if we more regularly acknowledge that when we get that reflection? Because that, again, the whole world is a mirror. All of our relationships are mirrors. Well, what good does a mirror do if you never look in it? If you never check your teeth to see if there's anything in there? If you never comb your hair? If you never notice the reflection. And so that's a small way where perhaps this energy of celebration can help us move forward. And it is, again, those smaller things. What if when we accomplish something, no matter how small it is, we all have our to-do lists, whether they're written down or not, whether they're mental or not. What if every time we accomplish one of those things on our to-do list, written down or not, and I love writing them down because I love the satisfaction of scratching things out. But what if every time we accomplish something, we gave ourselves a pat on the back? We said, woohoo, me. That's very cool. I got that done. Doesn't matter how small it is. Doesn't matter. You know, for me, it's nice when I, you know, pick the Kleenex back up off the floor that I missed when I threw it across at the trash can and actually get it in the trash can. That's a thing to celebrate. You know, otherwise they're going to pile up there because I've never been good at Kleenex basketball. And doesn't matter. Cleaning the litter box. Making dinner for myself as something other than what I put in the microwave. Doesn't matter how small it is. Sometimes it's as simple as thanking yourself for getting out of the bed in the morning, or for not getting out of the bed in the morning, for letting yourself sleep in, for letting yourself take that extra rest. Doesn't matter. Everything, every moment has an opportunity for gratitude. And if we take it further, it has an opportunity for celebration. And it has the power to open us up, to be more present, to connect more with where we are, which is the only way we can change anything. Everything that we're in denial of, everything that we're suppressing, everything that we're blocking, we get to continue carrying around with us. And so, to me, celebration and gratitude are very deeply connected to each other, and celebration is the next level of taking gratitude and using it as a tool to move forward. Now, I'd like to take this and apply it to some of what was talked about last week. Now, last week, for those of you who did not hear the show or who are like me and don't really remember, I will seek to come up with at least something about what I said last week before I go on. Last week was about attachments, and it was about looking at attachments not just the way most of us have tended to do, or at least most people I know have tended to do, about attachment to a particular outcome and how much that gets in the way of what we're manifesting because we need to let go of the attachment, but also the attachment to our definitions of ourselves, to all those roles that we play, to all those ways that to some degree we have been able to step into our value. I'm a good teacher, so we step into, I'm a teacher, and that's a role that I play. Or brother, or sister, or parent, or child, or anything else that you can think of that would be a label. It doesn't have to be a role like that. It can also be self-definition of our attributes. I'm a loving person. I'm an open-hearted person. I'm a friendly person, etc. Every one of those, no matter how positive the attribute might be, if we are attached to those, they are limiting us. They are preventing us from moving into our full power because we are valuing that particular attribute and acting as if that attribute is true or permanent, rather than that attribute is a pattern that we express out into the world. And it may well be a beautiful pattern, but it's not who we are. And so I actually had some feedback last week from the show that was very interesting. And there was a part of it that really resonated for me. It was about, well, what next? If we let go of all these definitions that we've spent our lives attaching ourselves to, all these things that we have come to value in ourselves, all these things that we've come to think of as our contribution to the world or to our family or to our coworkers, etc. If we let go of those, what's left? Who are we then? And there's some fear in that. And it's that fear of the unknown, and it's that fear of letting go of the safety of definition. And I could relate to that. I could relate very strongly to that. And I think celebration is part of the answer. Now, the question that came to me, that was offered to me in feedback, was what next? What after that? What happens after we let go of all those roles? Well, here's the thing. It's not that we're letting go of our capacity to express in those ways. What that is about is about letting go of our attachment. In other words, letting go of seeking some level of our value through those particular roles, through those particular attributes that we're attached to. It's not that we let go of being able to be a teacher or being able to be a friend or being able to be a partner or a sibling or whatever else the role might be. It's not that we're letting go of our capacity to express through those patterns. It's that we're letting go of our need to define ourselves and our value through the labels that we have placed on those patterns. And so I think we can use this aspect of gratitude and this aspect of celebration to help us move beyond that attachment. And so what if we were to take and figure out all of those or any of those or even one of those roles that we're attached to that we claim our value from or through? And what if we were to simply celebrate it and to thank ourselves for moving in that energy, for being able to express in that way, for being able to share ourselves in that way? And then what if we were able to celebrate it? Now here's where I think this helps to break those patterns of attachment. Because if we're celebrating it, we're not holding on to it. What we're doing is allowing it to express more fully. We're allowing ourselves to acknowledge not just that we have been a good teacher or friend or lover or whatever, but we are saying, that's a part of who I am. I'm grateful that I'm able to express through this show. I'm grateful that I'm able to be a conduit for wisdom, for teachings, for love, for energy, for healing, for whatever else might come through me. I am so grateful for that. But if I hold on to that, I limit it. Because what I'm holding on to is the level of expression as a teacher or healer or whatever that I've done in the past. I'm not open to that definition and that experience changing. And by celebrating how much of it I've been able to do so far, by celebrating how much of it I have allowed to come through, what I'm also able to celebrate is how much that's changed through the years. I am certainly not the same as a teacher now as I was when I got out of college and took my first job teaching English to junior high and high school students grades 7 through 12 at a rural school in Missouri. Not even close. I had no clue what the hell I was doing. I had my training, which didn't seem to apply very much to the real world. I had some tools that I was very clumsy with. Do you remember the first time you ever picked up a hammer or a screwdriver or an egg beater or a blender? Every tool that we have to start from scratch and learn how to use. And we're going to develop in that. And we don't tend to acknowledge that development in these mundane things. And yet, well, let's go to the obvious one, riding a bicycle. I don't know of anyone who got on a bicycle without training wheels and just rode away. We all fall as we're stepping into these new things. And that's why we attach ourselves so firmly to what we've already defined ourselves as. And the more life experience we have, yes, perhaps the more things we can do, but also the more things we're attached to. So the harder it is to change. Do you remember when you were little and you would play Let's Pretend and you were a doctor and then you were a nurse and then you were a patient and then you were a parent and then you were a teacher and then you were an astronaut and then you were a soldier and then you were this or that? And you know what it took? It took a breath to switch from one of those to the other because we weren't attached yet to the definition of ourselves as a teacher or a student or whatever else we might be. We hadn't attached to that being valuable. Instead, we were open to exploring it. We were going to play with it. We were going to experience the energy of it. Well, that is what I think will happen as we step in and celebrate all the roles that we've played so far. It's like, wow, okay, I've done a good job here. Woo, all right, what's next? What can I open up into? Because we're embracing it. Rather than, what do we do? What do we do as humans? We are continuously trying to figure out how to make things better, rather than being grateful for what's going right right now. Book I've read recently and started rereading again because there's so much power in it, a book called Switch, How to Change When Change is Hard, which is another book that I just love, and it gave me some really good insights. And now I've entirely lost the train of thought that I was on about that book. Let's see if we can bring it back here. Well, what they talk about in there, one of the things they talk about in there, among many, many things, is, and I may have mentioned this already in the past few shows, is, and I forget the term they use, but it's this positive-negative dichotomy. And it is related to how much more energy and attention we focus on things that are negative in our lives than we do on things that are positive. And they have done studies, and quite frankly, as far as the research goes, this is true generally in every area of our lives. We spend a lot more attention on the car wrecks and the train wrecks and the disasters that happen than we do on celebrating the positive things. Now, how much that applies to you as an individual, I don't know. I know it's true for most people I know. And quite frankly, there's a degree to which I don't know how much I would even have work if that weren't true. Because I'm here to help people move and change and shift those things that are negative in their lives. And I'm not saying it's wrong to look at those things and to focus on them and seek to use them as a tool to step into our power and create change. But the point is that we have the capacity to consciously choose to focus our attention on the positive things, and we will actually get better results through doing that. Another thing that's come up in the last year since or so since I started this show that I found fascinating is a concept that relates to our supposed strengths and weaknesses. And I actually came across it in a program I was taking on learning to run a business more as a business, more successfully. But the concept is this. How much time have we spent on trying to fix the things that we label as weaknesses in our lives? Well, I don't know about you, but I've spent a lot of time on that. And in many cases, in most cases, I've only gotten incrementally better. I am never going to be a lot of things. And yet, there is this value or this idea out there that the best way to spend our energy is to focus on fixing what's wrong with us. Well, what does that do? It focuses energy on the idea that there's something wrong with us. No matter what the aspect is, no matter what the area of our lives is, it's focusing energy on the underlying concept, the underlying idea that there's something wrong with us and that we should fix it. And the concept as it was presented, what they talked about was how much more productive we can be, how much more empowered we can be, if instead of trying to fix the things that we judge about ourselves to make them better, what if we were to focus on improving our strengths, improving the things that we already do well, taking them to a level of mastery? And that's a huge concept to me, because it flies so much in the face of so much of what's out there in the world, at least that I've experienced or that I've seen that other people have brought to me. If we can discover the things that we're good at and put extra amounts of energy into those, then we become great at them. Then we master them. I'm not sure which of the books this is in. There are three books by the guy that wrote The Tipping Point, Malcolm Gladwell. And he is talking about in there a number of other things that are useful. But using that concept of moving forwards through our strengths and expressing those more fully, we can get to a place where the other things are not holding us back. We can get to a place where we feel free to be ourselves. Those things that we have a weakness in, or supposedly a weakness, even that definition of it, even using that term, has a judgment in it. That it's not something that we have a natural attribute for, that it's not something we have a natural power in, that it doesn't come easy to us, doesn't mean it's a weakness. It means that it's not a primary part of who we are. It's not a primary part of what we are here to express. It's not a primary part of who we are as masters. And if we're seeking to expose the masters within, what we're seeking to do is discover our mastery. And here again, I come back around to that energy of celebration. The more we are willing to acknowledge and celebrate the things that we have accomplished, the more we are going to become consciously aware of our strengths. Because if every day I'm celebrating some small thing that I have done that day, and I find myself every day celebrating in the same area of my life, well, then that's probably a good indicator that that's one of the areas that I have strengths in. And the things that we don't find ourselves celebrating, maybe those are the things that we don't choose to continue. There are a lot of things out right now about refocusing, reframing business. One book that I find very fascinating is called The 4-Hour Workweek. And one of the primary concepts in that book is that we can create a life where we are spending most of our time doing the things that we are passionate about that we would choose to do rather than doing something we're not passionate about just to make money. And that is a primary goal. Well, that's a primary goal for me. Now, it's not necessarily to get to the place where my work week is only 4 hours, but that might be nice. But more importantly than that is the more of my time I'm spending doing something I'm passionate about, the better. And quite frankly, the more you look at your passions, I would say the more likely it is that you're to find things that are in your ballpark, that are in your wheelhouse, they would say, that are your strengths. We may be passionate about experiencing something that we don't do especially well, like, for instance, listening to music that other people do well. But there's a passion there about music for a reason. And many people who are very passionate about music, perhaps they just haven't explored it enough. Perhaps there are strengths around music for them that they can call upon and develop and encourage. And if they would step into that energy of celebrating their love for music, maybe they would take it further. Maybe they haven't explored it or expressed it or found mastery in it yet in terms of coming out of them because they haven't chosen to do it. Now, again, I'm going to use myself as an example. When I was a child, I loved to sing. Very few things I remember loving more than that. And I think it was in second grade or third grade, I'm not sure which, I think second, because this is the nun that would be most likely to have done this to me. In church one day, I was singing and I was having a grand old time, and maybe you can tell this from my voice on the show, maybe you know this from me personally, I tend to be fairly loud when I'm expressing myself. I have a big voice, and I guess I was singing just a little bit too loud that day, or perhaps a lot too loud. And I don't remember if she actually whacked me upside the head or not. But that was the energy of it. And the statement was, stop it. You're ruining it for everyone else. Stop singing so loud. And I closed the doors on that and shut it down. And when I was working on my master's degree in theater, well, I'll take a step back before that. After I was out teaching, I was encouraged to do some community theater. And that was all fine. I love doing theater. I love acting. So I did that. And after doing a few shows, they were having auditions for the musical Annie. I wasn't going to audition for that because I can't sing. Well, a couple of my friends, they spent the entire day of auditions calling me about every 15 minutes trying to get me to come in and audition for this show. And I just said, no, I can't sing. And they kept saying, anyone can sing. Come in here, you'll work with the vocal coach, you'll work with the music director, and we'll figure this out. You'll be fine. We're not asking you to be a lead. We just need more male bodies to fill all the roles that we have in the show. And so eventually they broke me down enough that I came in and said, all right, I'll audition. Well, because there weren't enough men anyway, auditioning meant being in the show. So I was in the show, and I went in there, and I was certain that they were not going to get a sound out of me that was worthwhile. I was a in-the-car-alone-by-myself kind of singer, or an in-the-shower-when-no-one-else-is-in-the-house kind of singer. And I got in there, and the musical director started playing some songs or running me through scales, or I don't know exactly how she did it. But by the end of the first rehearsal with her, she had me convinced that I actually could sing. And I had a great time doing that show. And the next show that we auditioned for, the Company of Wayward Saints, about a Commedia dell'arte troupe, for those of you who know what that is, and I got the role of Harlequin. And Harlequin had two songs that he was supposed to sing, and there wasn't even any music in there. It was just the words that were written. And in Commedia dell'arte, they sing a cappella. They sing with strumming an instrument or whatever. And I had shifted so much that I went to the director and said, I want to sing these songs. And I don't know where the hell this came from. Spirit brought this guidance down, actually gave me the tune for each song. And I ended up going. I was, again, teaching at the junior high and high school. I went to the musical director who, well, what she said is, all right, talk to this student. Well, welcome back. And this student is the one who knows guitar, and so you can sing him these songs, and he'll teach you the chords to strum. And so he taught me the chords, and every night in the production, every single night, I would strum the chord and sing the line and strum the chord and sing the line, and then somewhere in the song, I would screw up, and I wouldn't know which chord to strum, so I would just sing the rest of it a cappella. And I was fine with that. And move fast forward through a number of years. If you've any of you have had the channeling from me, or if you've listened to the show and heard the channeling at the end, where I do the toning that they use to adjust the frequencies of myself and whoever I'm channeling for with the being that's coming in, you know, that using sound, using my voice has become a primary part of my work. And I had a friend and client of mine who came up to me on multiple occasions and kind of did the same sort of thing as the community theater people. She kept saying, we need to get you in the recording studio. We need to get you in the recording studio. So the right time came along, and I went in, and I had a blast recording my first CD. And this was years ago. And I've got a second one recorded that I need to raise the funds to get it out in the world. But now one of the next things that hopefully will be launched in the next month is all about that. It's about sound recordings going out to help change people. And yet, from this program as a child, I went into adulthood. I mean, I was 24. So from the age of 6, 7 until 24, I was convinced I couldn't carry a tune in a bucket. And now it's a primary part of the work that I do. It's a primary part of how I express myself in the world. And if I hadn't been willing to step out of that, and by God, I wasn't very willing. I got dragged into that rehearsal or that audition kicking and screaming. But I was open enough to letting go of that's a weakness in my life, to the point now where it's actually one of my strengths. And not only do I get complimented on my voice and my laugh, I get complimented on the toning and the chanting and that singing aspect of how I express myself. And so that's another piece of this, is how do we look at those things that we've defined as weaknesses and break through the attachment that they are weaknesses, because some of them may not be. It may be that you had the proverbial nun slap you upside the head and tell you to shut up, and it shut down something that's actually a strength of yours. But if I could go back and rewind, and if I could use this tool that I'm talking about today, that of celebration, to celebrate how much I love music, I might have gotten through this a lot faster. Because if I had been able to do that and celebrate that I had a really good time singing that song in the car, regardless of what anyone on the street thought when they saw me as I passed by singing my head off, or regardless of what anyone else might have said to me when they heard me singing, I could have opened this up more if I had just noticed and celebrated how much and how important and how much I enjoyed music. So, I think I'm going to stop the message there. Got a couple more things to share, but I think that's fairly complete. So, everybody take a deep breath. And so, let's celebrate some more. And my celebration of my first year of doing this program, of doing Exposing the Masters Within, includes this. And thanks to you for being willing to co-create this with me, participate with me. You have, let's see, it's about 4 o'clock here, so that means about 8 hours until we get to midnight. You have 33 hours to send me an email or give me a call to claim a free 15-minute channeling session. I do the 15-minute tune-in, tune-up sessions. If it goes longer than that, you're going to get charged, but it won't be much, and you get 15 minutes free. But that's my thank you to you, and that's part of my celebration, because I love to do the show, I love to do the channeling, and you've helped me co-create this, whether you've only listened once or whether you've been here for every show. And I really do appreciate that. So, let me know you're out there and claim your gift. All right. Next thing I want to talk about, and I've almost got this up on the website fully. It will go out today or tomorrow as an email, and it will be there on the website by today or tomorrow. But I've talked about it multiple times over the last few weeks. On Wednesday, I'm calling it Conception Day. A friend of mine who's a numerologist analyzed the day. He's been doing planetary or numerology for 40 years. He does numerology for the planet, and as far as he's concerned, with his analysis, this is the most powerful day he has ever analyzed. And what does that mean, and why am I calling it Conception Day? Well, because that day is 9 months before, again, subject to interpretation, the end of the Mayan calendar with the solstice on December 21st. So, as with the conception of kids, theoretically, from the time the seed, the sperm and the egg meet, you got 9 months until you got a kid. And so, what he is asking for, what he is calling for, what we are both inviting you to do is to spend some time that day really envisioning and energizing, joining in a community creation of a vision of what we would like the world to be, of what we would like to give birth to the world as on December 21st. Now, I'm going to have the explanation up there. I'm going to have the prayer that he wrote and we rewrote together that is a very powerful prayer. You can do whatever else you would like in terms of your own prayers, your own intentions that you want to set. By all means, set your personal intentions as well for what you want your life to be starting December 21st. But I'm also going to put up there, and this will go out in the email, I will be throughout the day. I think I've decided that the first time is going to be 7:30 a.m. Eastern time, especially for those of you who might be off in Europe somewhere or something like that. And then a number of times in the late afternoon and into the evening, probably about once an hour, I will be offering a teleconference. It will be free. You'll be able to call in. We will just do some intention setting. We'll do the prayer. You know, what I may do is start with a similar thing to how I start the radio show, making the conscious connections to this mass consciousness. So if you would like to connect with a community of people consciously who are doing this same thing, setting intentions on Conception Day, then that will be available to you. And you can call in as many times or as few times as you like or not at all. And everything that you do that day that is about setting these energies in motion is going to join the mass consciousness. It's not a requirement that you do it with other people. It's not a requirement that you do it at a certain time. But it can certainly feel good to know that you're doing it at the same time or to know that you're doing it directly with others. So that's why I'm going to offer those teleconferences. So if you're interested in joining in that in any way, look to the website, OurEarthPass.com. Over the next 24 hours, it will definitely be there. And if you're on my email contact list, you will get the email about it. If you don't have that by noon tomorrow, then it means I don't have the right email for you. Or check your spam filter. So anyway, that's enough of that. And on to some channeling. So as always, just allow yourselves to breathe while I do the toning and bring in whoever is going to come in to join us for this last segment. Hello, dear ones. This is the Divine Mother, come in the form of Mother Mary to be with you today. Welcome, welcome, welcome. And so, children, It is time to play. It is time to remember how to let go. How to let go. It is so easy for the child within you to play. It is so easy for you as you were as a child to play. You may not remember that. It may have been squashed out of you very early, but it was there and it is still within you. And so what we are going to do right now is help you to reconnect with that. And so take a deep breath and consciously remind yourself that you are grounded. Open to it. Allow yourself to experience it again a little bit more fully. And allow that energy of the Mother Earth, that aspect of your Divine Mother, to just fill you up. And what we would suggest you do as you're filling up with that energy is that imagine it to be a fountain of champagne. So there's those little effervescent bubbles coming up inside of you, the kind that make you want to giggle. And you don't have to giggle, but if you feel like it, go right ahead. And just allow that to come up. And as those bubbles come up to your heart, and they hit the walls around your heart, the protections on your heart, and they pop very gently, and yet with great power. And each one of those bubbles popping on the walls of your heart, surprise, surprise, breaks down a little bit of the overprotection that you have. We're not going to take away the protection that you still need, but the overprotection. And each bubble just helps to break it down a little bit more. So if you could imagine yourself right now as your heart, it's kind of like your heart needs to stretch. And now it can stretch a little more easily because those effervescent bubbles are breaking down the constrictions that have held you smaller than you are, that have held you in judgment of yourself. And so allow that to just fall away. And as it falls away, well, you know what we're going to do? We're going to have some little white mice. Now, if you don't like white mice, that's fine. You can use something else. But we're going to use little white mice. And they're going to be like the white mice that help the princesses in the fairy tales. And so they're going to come up, and they're going to come up riding on some of those bubbles. Now, those bubbles might be a little bit bigger. They're going to ride the bubbles up, and whatever dissolves off of your heart where the bubbles pop, the mice are going to eat it. And they're going to eat and eat and eat. And these mice haven't fed in a while. They're really hungry. Maybe you can use white goats, because goats will eat anything. And they're going to eat it, and they, when they get full, they leave, and new mice or new goats come to replace them. And they just keep eating away as long as the bubbles have something to erase, as long as they have something to release. The mice or the goats come up and they carry it out of you. And it's just very easy. Very easy. And again, feel yourself as your heart stretching and expanding. Feel the openness occurring. And breathe into it. Because you don't want it to reconstrict. Breathe into those areas where you're now stretching. Breathe into them and own them, claim them, allow them to expand. Wonderful. Wonderful. And now, this is just a starting point. You can do this as many times as you like. But now, what we'd like you to do is to remember, if you can, one of your dreams when you were a little boy or a little girl. One of those things that you dreamed of becoming as an adult. Maybe it was a princess. Maybe it was a fairy. Maybe it was a warrior. Doesn't matter what it was. Just remember it. And now play with how it feels to be that role, to be that archetype. Play with it. You as the child probably don't know what archetype means, but play with it. Breathe into it. Play, let's pretend with that role. with that being, with that energy. And let that help you expand and stretch in your heart. Expand and stretch what you perceive is possible within you to be. And let yourself smile while you're doing it. This is not work. And now, let that one go. Poof! And the smoke from that one just rises up out of your head and disappears completely. And choose another, if you can think of another. And if you can't think of one when you were a child, think of one right now. If you were asked the question, doesn't matter how old you are, if you were asked the question, what would you like to be when you grow up? What would your answer be right now? And let that roll. Expand inside of you. Let that archetype, let that energy expand in your heart. Fill you up out of your heart. Overflow from your heart. Fill all of you. And let yourself just feel being that. And enjoy it. Celebrate it. Be grateful that you can connect into that energy to whatever degree you can right now. And even if it is only the tiniest amount, celebrate it. Because the next time you would do this, if you choose to, the next time you would do it, it would expand. It would be bigger. It would be more. This is how you manifest. You have to own it. You have to choose to experience it. It doesn't come to you and then you allow yourself to have it. You have it inside of you and then you allow yourself to bring it to you in the external. So, thank yourself for doing this. Pat yourself on the back. If not physically, then at least metaphorically. And breathe into that. Be thankful that you chose to be here today. Be thankful that you chose to do the exercise. Be thankful that you're in a body right now and you can hear our words. Be thankful for your imagination that can allow you to step into these experiences. Be thankful that you have a computer or a phone to participate with this. Be thankful that you have chosen to walk a path of self-empowerment so that this would have some meaning for you. Be thankful that you are still alive. Be thankful that you are here right now when there is so much possibility of transformation, so much support for change, so much energy for empowerment. Now, take a couple of deep breaths and thank your Mother Earth for sending her bubbles to help take down the walls around your heart. And thank the mice and the goats for coming and eating that self-protection that was not necessary any longer. And thank yourself again, for being the divine light that you are, and for in this lifetime choosing the path of sharing that light. Much love to you, dear ones. Much love, now and always. Namaste. All right, well, thank you to Mother Mary. She was the first one that I did channel. So, always good to hear from her, anyway. Just the reminder, little less than 32 hours to contact me. Doesn't mean we have to schedule it right now, but you have to claim it right now. So you can, even if you don't have a question or anything to talk about with me or them in the near future, you can claim it right now. Get yourself on that list. So that's until, I'll make it official here, midnight on Monday, March 19th. Now, obviously, for those who need me to say this, please don't call me if it's close to midnight. Send an email. I will get it, and you will get your gift. All right. Doug, thank you once more. Go ahead and start those chimes up whenever you're ready. Well, it has been a pleasure to be here with you for this show. It has been a pleasure to be here with you for this last year. Here's to many years to come. I could not do this without you. Well, I could, but it wouldn't be worth much if nobody's listening. So, anyway, give me your feedback. Let me know what you like, what you don't like, what you'd like to hear more of. Questions, topics, suggestions for guests. I know I will have a guest eventually again, I promise. And, well, I hope you have a wonderful rest of your day, whatever this day might look like for you. I will be back next week. You never know where this show will go. You never know where you're going to go. The more you step into your freedom and your power, the more opportunity is there. So, much love, my friends. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I will be with you again. Namaste.